Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, July 9th, 2024. Joel.
All right, we have one announcement before we get started this evening. Vacation Bible School evaluation meeting will be tomorrow night after Bible class. Everyone involved with Vacation Bible School, please attend. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God this evening to Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, I got the new issue of Israel, My Glory, from the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry. This is the July-August edition. And it has the perfect article for what we're going to be studying tonight in Joel chapter 3. Jim Showers wrote this. He is the executive director and president of the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry. From the time the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob settled in the promised land following their 40-year wilderness wandering, they have faced enemies who have sought their destruction. In the days of the Israelite kingdom, Asaph, the psalmist, cried out to God to intervene as the Israelites' enemies were plotting to cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more. Psalm 83, verse 4. For centuries since then, many nations have shared this same desire. On our tours to Israel, we visit Tel Megiddo, a mound comprised of 26 strata of ruins. Each time the city was destroyed, it was rebuilt on the ruins of the previous civilization because it was a strategic town that controlled one of the main trade routes connecting Africa to Europe and Asia. The top of Tel Megiddo provides a panoramic view of the 147 square mile Jezreel Valley, where many enemies fought against Israel. This valley is a natural battlefield because it is long, wide, and flat. Living in or around Israel, the Amalekites, Canaanites, Midianites, Amorites, Philistines, and others sought to crush the Jewish nation. As we read the accounts of these battles in the Old Testament, and one of those is the book of Joel, we realize what appears to be human conflict is really spiritual warfare. Certainly, these enemies attacked Israel for personal gain, seeking to steal its wealth and its crops and control its land and to enslave its people. But for 4,000 years, a multitude of people groups has targeted Israel more than any other nation. This fact demonstrates a continuous pattern of demonically inspired influence to use other nations to eliminate Israel. The dark spirits of this world, led by Satan, desperately want to end Israel's existence in order to thwart God's judgment and secure their future. God's plan to defeat Satan in Genesis chapter 3 and his adversaries when Jesus Christ returns to the earth flows through the little Jewish nation Israel. Zechariah 14, Revelation 19 and 20. So, Satan and his demons influence people to hate Israel and oppose its existence. That is what you see going on in America and all around planet Earth. Exactly what's going on. So Satan and his demons influence people to hate Israel and oppose its existence. The Apostle Paul reminds us that the greater battle is not with flesh and blood, but against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Ephesians 6:12. However, this spiritual war pours over into the human realm, which we see each time Israel is physically attacked. With Hamas's massacre last October, we again witnessed Israel's enemies attempt to wipe the nation off the map. Since Israel's rebirth in 1948, it has faced many attacks by neighboring nations that sought to eliminate it, including the War of Independence, 1948, the Second Arab-Israeli War, 1956, the Six-Day War, 1967, the Yom Kippur War, 1973, and the Lebanon War, 1982. Though Satan will pursue his campaign to eliminate Israel until he is finally defeated, Revelation chapter 12, God will protect and preserve Israel. He sovereignly chose the Jewish people to bless the world, Genesis 12:3, and raise them up to be the nation through whom he will redeem his creation, provide the way of salvation for humanity in the person of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Son of David, and defeat the dark prince of this world, Satan. Nothing can keep God the Creator from completing his plan and accomplishing his will over his creation. And to that we say, amen. Perfect article for what we're studying. All right. Joel chapter 3. We have exegeted the first three verses. Verse 1. For behold, in those days and at that appointed time, that is the early days of the millennial kingdom, right after the second advent of Jesus Christ to the earth, when I, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall cause to bring back the fortunes and grace blessings of Judah and Jerusalem, Israel will be restored, the remnant of Jewish believers restored, and as the client nation to God for 1,000 years in the millennium. Then verse 2, I will intensively gather together all the Gentile unbelievers, and I will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, the valley of the Lord's judges. And I will enter into judgment with them there concerning my people, even concerning my inheritance, Israel, because they have intensely scattered my people, the Jews, among the Gentile nations, and they have intensely divided up my land. And they have, verse 3, and they have cast lots for my people. And they have given a boy into slavery as payment for a prostitute. And they have sold a girl into slavery as payment for wine so that they might drink. Following the second advent of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ will judge the Gentiles for the way they have treated the Jews. Three reasons for this judgment are given in verses 2 and 3. First of all, because they scattered the Jews among the nations. Secondly, because they divided up God's land, Israel. And third, because they sold Jewish sons and daughters into slavery. A Jewish boy was given into slavery as payment for one night with a prostitute. A Jewish girl was sold into slavery for a meager bottle of wine. History records the awful atrocities imposed on the Jewish people. The Bible teaches us that Israel will once again feel the iron heel of Gentile hatred and persecution during the tribulation period. The Antichrist will turn on the Jews and break the covenant of peace that he made with them, Daniel 9:27. And the Antichrist will try to kill all who will not worship him as God, 2 Thessalonians 2:1 through 4, Revelation 13:11-15, Matthew 24:15-22, Revelation 12:13-17. With the great tribulation drawing to a close, the nations of the world will all come together and invade Israel. And where will they assemble? The Valley of Megiddo, the Jezreel Valley. And why are they there? To destroy every Jew from the face of the earth. And this includes the king of the north, which is Russia, and Russia's allies, which include Iran. It includes the kings of the east, communist China. It includes the kings of the south, the pan-Arabic bloc. And it includes the revived Roman Empire, led by the Antichrist. And this will result in two-thirds of the Jewish population being killed. Zechariah 13, verse 8. Also, one half of Jerusalem will be taken captive. Zechariah 14, verse 2. And by a casual reading of the scriptures, it seems as if the Gentiles will be judged according to their works, and not on the basis of whether they have believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior. It appears that way in Joel 3, 2 and 3, Matthew 25, 31 to 33, and 41 to 46. However, the Word of God makes it very, very clear. God makes it very clear. Man is never, never saved by works, but only by grace, through faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. The ones judged are described as being cursed, having their destiny sealed to the lake of fire, Matthew 25, verses 41 and 46. A second group, described as righteous, Matthew 25, 37, will help the suffering Jewish remnant during the tribulation by feeding and clothing and housing and visiting them in prison, Matthew 25, 35 to 40. The Gentiles then are called either righteous or cursed, on the basis of whether they received or rejected the grace gospel, the gospel of the kingdom, Matthew 24, verse 14. And in accepting the message of the grace gospel, they would have received the messengers as well. And therefore, they show their faith, they demonstrate their faith in Jesus Christ by feeding, clothing, housing, and visiting the Jewish remnant imprisoned for their faith. And the great illustration of this is Rahab, and everybody knows her as Rahab the prostitute. Now, when we get to heaven, I don't think anybody is going to call her, "Hey, Rahab the prostitute." Rahab believed in Jesus Christ as her Savior. And she is a classic illustration of someone who demonstrates her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of Israel, by helping the Jewish spies escape from Jericho. And we saw that Joshua chapter 2, 1 through 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. Now that brings us to Joel chapter 3, verse 4. We have the people to be judged, and God will judge all Gentile nations equally. We have here the Phoenicians, Tyre and Sidon, the Philistines, and they're set forth as examples because of their harsh treatment of the Jewish people. Joel chapter 3, verse 4 starts out and says in the King James, "Yea, and what have ye to do with me, O Tyre and Sidon, and all the coasts of Philistia?" This is made up of the conjunction vav prefixed to the adverb gam, plus the interrogative pronoun ma, joined by a makef to the second person plural masculine pronoun ata, plus the preposition lamad with the first person singular suffix, plus the proper noun sor with the conjunction vav prefixed to another proper noun, tzidon, plus the conjunction vav prefixed to the noun kol with the plural of the noun galila, and then the proper noun peleshet. So we start out with a conjunction vav. And it's a connective vav and translated and. And then we have the adverb gam. Looks like that in the Hebrew, G-A-M, gam. And gam is correctly translated moreover. This adverb gam emphasizes the thought of the entire sentence. That is, God will bring swift judgment on Israel's enemies. God will bring swift judgment on Israel's enemies. And then we have the interrogative pronoun ma, M-A-H, ma. And ma asks the question, what? And then we have the personal pronoun ata. Looks like this in the Hebrew, Aleph, A-T-T-A-H, ata. And ata means you and refers specifically to Israel's enemies. Israel's enemies. And then the preposition lamav plus the first person singular suffix to me. So the corrected translation is, and moreover, what are you to me? And then we have the proper noun tzor. T-S-O-R, tzor. And this tzor is the famous Phoenician city Tyre. The Phoenician city of Tyre was one of the most famous and wealthiest cities in the ancient world. The people of Tyre and Sidon were the greatest traders in the ancient world. And they controlled the sea trade throughout the Mediterranean Sea and the Persian Gulf. Tyre was the leading commercial city of the ancient world. And then we have with Tyre, Sidon. T-S long I-D long O-N. Sidon. And that is transliterated Sidon. Sidon is Sidon. And it's another very famous Phoenician city. Together, Tyre and Sidon refers to the Phoenicians. And then we have coal. K K-O-L, Kol, and Kol is the Hebrew word all, and then Galila. Looks like that. G, Shava, L, long I-L-A-H. Galila. And Galila means boundary or territory or region. Here, region is the best translation. So this says, Kol Galila, all the regions of what? All the regions of Peleshet. P Shiva L E S H E T, Peleshet. And Peleshet is Philistia, the Philistines in Philistia. So the corrected translation is, and moreover, what are you to me, O Tyre and Sidon, Phoenicia, and all the regions of Philistia? And moreover, what are you to me, O Tyre and Sidon, Phoenicia, and all the regions of Philistia? One. The Lord identifies himself with his people. And who are the Lord people? The Jewish people. The Lord identifies himself with his people, the Jewish people. What are you to me? What do you have against me? See, they're attacking and trying to destroy Israel. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, you're really attacking me, the living and true God. When you attack Israel, you're attacking the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord identifies himself with people. All of this that you're trying to destroy the Jewish people, your attack isn't against them. It's against me, the living and true God. What are you to me? Why? What do you have against me? Point two. An attack on Israel is an attack on the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. An attack on Israel is an attack on the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Three, an attack on God's people is an attack on God. An attack on God's people is an attack on God. Four, they have no justification. For all their actions against the Jewish people. That are described in Joel 3, 2 and 3. They have no justification for their actions against the Jewish people. Described in verses 2 and 3. 5. Therefore, God will repay them for their offenses with what? Judgment. The Valley of Jehoshaphat. Therefore, God will repay them for their offenses with judgment. And that's the rest of verse 4. So far we have, and moreover, what are you to me? What do you have against me? You're attacking the Jewish people and trying to destroy Israel from the face of the earth, so they're no longer a nation Israel. But you're really attacking me. What do you have against me? O Tyre and Sidon, Phoenicia, and all the regions of Philistia. And then God asks, will you render me a recompense? That's the King James. This is the PAL participle of the verb shalem, plus the second person plural of the personal pronoun atah, plus the preposition al with the first person singular suffix, plus the noun gemul with the definite article. First of all, we have the verb shalem. S-H-A-L-E-M, shalem. Now in the Kal stem, shalem means to be complete, to be finished, to be sound, to be uninjured. And it's from this verb shalem that we have the Hebrew noun shalom. S-H-A-L-O-M, shalom. And shalom is the noun, Hebrew noun, that means completeness and soundness and welfare and peace and prosperity in its widest sense. Shalom is the equivalent of the Greek noun eirene. However, in the PL stem of shalem, which is what we have, it means to render, to recompense, to make compensation, or to pay back. And here it means to pay back. And then the preposition al means on or upon, but it's al with the first person singular suffix, upon me. And who is me? The Lord Jesus Christ, upon the Lord, upon me, the Lord Jesus Christ. So they're going to pay him back against upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the noun gemul, looks like that. That's G, Shiva, M, long U, L, Gemul. And Gemul means to deal out to do something to someone. And therefore, the noun Gemul, well, actually, Gemul comes from the verb Gamal, and Gamal means to deal out to do something to someone. And therefore, the noun Gemul means dealing or recompense, plus the personal pronoun Atah, once again, you. You, the Gentiles who are attacking the Jewish people, the enemies of the Jewish people, the enemies of Israel, that's you. So the corrected translation, and moreover, what are you to me? What do you have against me? These are all the enemies of Israel. Their attack on Israel, and it's right now, what's going on? They think they're attacking Israel. They're attacking the living and true God, Jesus Christ. And moreover, what are you to me? What do you have against me? O Tyre and Sidon, Phoenicia, and all the regions of Philistia, are you intensively paying me back a recompense for something I have done? And then it goes on, and if ye recompense me, this is the conjunction vav, prefix to the conditional particle im, which is joined by a makef to the calactive participle gamal, plus the personal pronoun atah once again, and the preposition al with the first person singular suffix. Now this time the conjunction vav is not a connective vav, it's an adversative vav. So here we have the vav, but this time it's an adversative vav, and it should be correctly translated but. And then the conditional particle im, Aleph, I am, im, and that means if, but, if, and then the personal pronoun, which we've had now three times, you, and again, here refers specifically to the Phoenicians and the Philistines, but it refers to all Gentile nations that persecute the Jewish people. But you, all the Gentile nations that persecute the Jewish people. And then once again, the verb gamal means to deal out to deal out recompense, to do something to someone. Preposition al, on or upon. And then the first person singular suffix, me. And me is the Lord Jesus Christ. So, but if you are dealing out a recompense upon me, the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are paying me back, then swiftly and speedily will I return your recompense upon your own head. Then swiftly and speedily will I return your recompense upon your own head. We have the adjective call with the noun mahera plus the hifil imperfect of the verb shuv plus the noun gemul with the second person singular masculine suffix plus the preposition beth prefix to the noun rosh with the second person plural masculine suffix. Okay, we have the adjective kal. Q-A-L, kal. Now, kal is an adjective, but it's used as an adverb. As an adjective, it means swift or fleet. As an adverb, which is how it's used here, it means swiftly, incorrectly translated, swiftly. And then the noun mahera. Looks like that in the Hebrew, M Shava, H E R A H, mahera. And mahera means haste or speed. However, Brown Driver and Briggs, the Hebrew Lexicon, page 555. Boy, isn't that a great page? Five's the number of grace. We got the number of grace, Five. Oh, man. Brown Driver and Briggs on page 555 tells us that this noun is usually used as an adverb, as it is in our verse, and is correctly translated hastily, quickly, speedily. And then the verb shuv. S-H long U-B, shuv. All right, a couple of points on this verb. First of all, shuv literally means, in the kal stem, it means to turn back or to return. To turn back or to return. Point two. However, in the hifil stem, which is what we have, it means to bring back in retribution. To bring back in retribution. The hifil stem is the causative stem of the Hebrew. Three. In other words, the Lord will cause to bring back in retribution. The Lord will cause to bring back in retribution. And then the noun gemul, once again, we had this meaning dealing or recompense. Second person singular masculine suffix. What you have done to someone else. And then the preposition beth, in or on, and it's on rosh with the second person plural masculine suffix. Rosh. R-O-Aleph-S-H, rosh, is the word head, second person plural masculine suffix, on your own head. So, verse 4, pretty powerful. And moreover, what are you to me? What do you have against me? See, they're trying to destroy Israel from the face of the earth. That's been going on for 4,000 years. It's satanically inspired. And these nations continue again and again and again to destroy Israel from the face of the earth. And they don't realize when they attack Israel, they are attacking the living and true God, Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ makes it clear here. And moreover, what are you to me? What do you have against me, the living and true God? O Tyre and Sidon, Phoenicia, and all the regions of Philistia, are you intensively paying me back a recompense for something I have done? But if you are dealing out a recompense upon me, the Lord, if you are paying me back, then swiftly and speedily, I, the Lord, will cause to bring back in retribution what judgment for what you have done on your own heads. Then swiftly and speedily, I, the Lord, will cause to bring back in retribution on your own heads judgment for what you have done. This is very, very powerful. One, history is full of examples of how swiftly God will judge those who persecute the Jewish people. History is full of examples of how swiftly God will judge those who persecute the Jewish people. Two, anti-Semitism is a vicious and satanic evil. Anti-Semitism is a vicious and satanic evil. Three, following the tribulation, at the second advent, the Lord Jesus Christ will bring swift judgment on Israel's enemies. After the tribulation, at the second advent, the Lord Jesus Christ will bring swift judgment on Israel's enemies. But the same thing is true right now. We're in the church age. We're near the end of the church age. Same thing. I will bless those who bless Israel. I will curse those who curse Israel. It's just as true today. It's been true since God put that in the scriptures in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. I will bless those who bless Israel. I will curse those who curse Israel. Four, the Phoenicians and the Philistines are set forth as illustrations, examples, for every Gentile nation that wants to attack Israel or cause suffering for the Jewish people. The Phoenicians and the Philistines are set forth as illustrations, examples, for every Gentile nation that wants to attack Israel or cause suffering for the Jewish people. Five, the Phoenicians and the Philistines were actually occupying land that were given by the Lord Jesus Christ to Israel. The Phoenicians and the Philistines were actually occupying land that were given by the Lord Jesus Christ to Israel. This is in Joshua chapter 13. Six, the Philistines were fierce enemies of Israel from Samson's day until the middle of David's reign as king, and they were still warring against Israel until the days of Joel. So the Philistines were fierce enemies of Israel from Samson's day until the middle of King David's reign, and they were still warring against Israel in the days of Joel. Seven. The last recorded invasion by the Philistines was against King Jehoram and his dynasty, resulting in their plunder and destruction, with only Ahaziah, the youngest son of Jehoram, was the only survivor. So the last recorded invasion by the Philistines was against King Jehoram and his dynasty, resulting in their plunder and destruction, and only Ahaziah, the youngest son of Jehoram, was survived. Turn over to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 21. Verse 16. Second Chronicle 21, verse 16, the Lord aroused against Jehoram the hostility of the Philistines and of the Arabs who lived near the Cushites. They attacked Judah, the southern kingdom. They invaded it and carried off all the goods found in the king's palace, together with his sons and wives. Not a son was left to him except Ahaziah, the youngest. Point 8. The Philistines will receive judgment from the Lord for stealing all the silver and gold and finest treasures from Israel, and for selling the Jewish people into slavery. And that's our passage, Joel 3, verses 5 and 6, we got coming up. And Joel 3, 5 and 6 sounds like this. I'll give you previews of coming attractions. Because you have taken away my silver and my gold, and this is articles of the temple that were important in the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ, because you have taken away my silver and my gold, and you have caused it to bring it into your palace and temples. And this is for, they stole it out of the temple in Israel to bring into their temples for idolatry, to bring into your palaces and temples. They stole it, they robbed it, and used it for idolatry. My desirable and valuable things. Verse 6. Also, you have sold the sons of Judah and the sons of Jerusalem into slavery to the sons of the Ionians, the Greeks, for the purpose that you might cause to remove them, separated far away from their promised land, their territory, their promised land. So that's coming up in verses 5 and 6. All right. So, Joel 3, verse 5. Because ye have taken my silver and my gold. We have the relative pronoun asher, joined by a makef to the noun kesef, with the first person singular suffix, plus the conjunction vav prefix to the noun zahav, with the first person singular suffix, plus the cal infinitive construct of the verb lakak. Now, asher is many times a relative pronoun. Aleph, A-S-H-E-R, asher. But Brown, Driver, and Briggs, the Hebrew Lexicon, page 83, notes that this relative pronoun often functions just like the causal conjunction ki in the Hebrew, and therefore similar to the Greek causal conjunction hati. And therefore, asher sometimes has a causal force, as it does in our verse, and it may be translated since or because. We'll translate it because. The causal conjunction asher introduces another cause for the Lord Jesus Christ bringing judgment on the Phoenicians and the Philistines and Gentile nations in general. And asher is joined by a makef to the noun kesef. K-E-S-E-P-H. When I was at Dallas Seminary, one of the member of our group at Dallas Seminary, he was a great guy, but he was studying Hebrew and Greek too, and Kesef was his, he used that all the time. And kesef is a word for money. So instead of saying money, he'd always use kesef. So when I saw this, I go, oh, yeah, okay, old Mr. Kesef. Kesef is the Hebrew word for money. It literally means silver. The first person singular suffix is very important. My silver, that is God's silver. Note that this is not Jehoram's silver. It's not the Jews' silver. It is God's silver. It's the Lord Jesus Christ's silver. It was used in the worship of the King of all kings and Lord of all lords, Jesus Christ. And then we have the conjunction vav, used as a connective vav and prefixed to the noun zahav. Z-A-H-A-B, Zahav. And Zahav is the word gold. Again, first person singular suffix, my gold, the Lord's gold. And then, so it's the Lord's silver. It's the Lord's gold. And then we have lakak. L-A-Q-A-C-H, lakak. And lakak means to take into your hand and carry away. Take in your hand and carry away, and that's what they did here. That's another way of describing stealing, to steal, to rob. Because you have taken away my silver, my gold, the Lord's silver, the Lord's gold. You stole it. You robbed it from the temple in Jerusalem. Because you have taken away my silver and my gold and have carried it into your temples, which was for the worship of idols. And when you worship idols, behind every idol is a demon. You're worshiping demons. Idolatry is worshiping demons. So they took away these items in the temple to worship the living and true God. They stole it and put it in their temples for idolatry, and they wound up worshiping demons. And have carried it into your temples, my goodly, pleasant things. That's the King James. We have the conjunction vav prefix to the noun machmad with the first person singular suffix, plus the adjective tov with the definite article, plus the hifil perfect of bo with the second person plural subject, plus the preposition lam with prefix to the noun hekal with the second person plural suffix. The conjunction vav again is connective, correctly translated and then machmad, machmad. M-A-C-H-M-A-D, machmad. And machmad means desirable thing or precious thing. It's modified by the adjective tov, T long O B, tov. Tov is, you'll see it translated good. It means far more than that. It's something that is intrinsically good, good of intrinsic value, something that's very valuable. First person singular suffix, my. My desirable and valuable things. The Lord's desirable and valuable things, because they're a part of the temple to worship the living and true God. And then we have Bo. B long O Aleph, Bo. And Bo literally means in the Kal stem, to come in, to go in. In the Hifil stem, which is what we have, it means to cause to come in, to bring in. The Hifil stem is the causative stem of the Hebrew. You have caused to bring in. That is, you've stolen and robbed. You refers to the Gentile nations, and in context, the Phoenicians and the Philistines. You have stolen and robbed, you Gentile nations. Then the preposition lameth, to or into, and then hekal. H, long E, K, A, L, hekal. Hekal is the Hebrew word for a palace or a temple, second person plural suffix, your palaces, your temples, and that is the temples of the Gentile nations where they worshipped idols, idolatry, and in reality they worshipped demons. So the corrected translation, because you have stolen, taken away my silver and gold. You've stolen, you've robbed it from my temple, and you have caused to bring it into your palaces and temples, my desirable and valuable things, treasures. All right. One. I want you to notice God said, they took my silver, my gold, my treasures. The Lord said, they took my silver, my gold, my treasures. Two, he did not say they took Israel's treasures. He did not say they took Israel's treasures. Three, the silver, the gold, and the treasures belong to the Lord. They belong to the Lord. Turn over to Haggai. Haggai. Haggai chapter 2, verse 8. Haggai 2, verse 8. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. And this refers to the items in the temple as a part of the to worship the living and true God, Jesus Christ. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. 4. The Lord gave this to Israel to be used in the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord, the living and true God. The Lord gave this to Israel to be used in the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ, the living and true God. Five. Not only did they rob and steal these treasures, but they dedicated these treasures to idols, for idol worship, idolatry, and in the process, the worship of demons. Turn over to Hosea. Hosea, chapter 2, Hosea, chapter 2, verse 8. Verse 8, she has not acknowledged that I was the one who gave her the grain, the new wine, and the oil, who lavished on her the silver and gold, which they used for Baal, to worship Baal, idolatry. All right, so verse 5. Because you have taken away, stolen, robbed my silver and my gold, and you have caused to bring it into your palaces and temples to worship idols, demons, my desirable and valuable things. All right. And if we get to verse 6, God will also judge the Phoenicians and Philistines for selling the Jewish children into slavery. We'll pick it up there next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.